Hi, everybody. It's Katie Couric. Have you heard about my newsletter called Body and Soul? It has everything you need to know about health and wellness. From skincare and serums to meditation and brain health, we've got you covered. And most importantly, it's information you can trust. Everything is vetted by experts at the top of their field. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/bodyandsoul. That's KATIECOURIC.com/bodyandsoul. I promise you'll be happier and healthier if you do.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Bruce Bozzi. On my podcast, Table for Two, we have unforgettable lunch after unforgettable lunch with the best guests you could possibly ask for. People like Matt Bomer, Emma Roberts, and Colin Jost.
Did you say a Caesar salad with lobster?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Our second season is airing right now, so you can catch up on our conversations that are intimate and often hilarious. Listen to Table for Two with Bruce Bozzi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. And you know what time it is. Every single Monday at this time, we do the same thing on this show. We always have. We always will. We call it Medal of Honor Monday. And I realize I have to start being better about explaining things we've done a long time because the show is growing so fast. We still have all these new listeners, and I have to explain things. Medal of Honor. When someone earns the Medal of Honor, highest award for bravery you can earn, they do a write-up on what you did. It's called a citation. Every Monday, we simply take one and we read it. They're all available online for free on multiple different websites, so you don't need me to do this. And as I've done before, I want to encourage you, if you're a coach, or shoot, a parent, a teacher, whatever, Sunday school teacher, you can do this. I don't need or deserve any credit for the idea at all. You can do this. Hold these men and their deeds up in front of the next generation so they actually have something to aspire to. Like, we want our men to be this way, right? I want my sons to be like this. And we take emailed suggestions, not just your love, hate, and death threats. If you have suggestions of ones you like, you can email them to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. This one says, greetings from Carlsbad, New Mexico, O grand, high, exalted, mystic ruler. My wife and I left California on the 24th of October, and we've been wandering around the countryside in our Airstream, Nevada, Arizona, and now New Mexico. We'll eventually make our way northwest Arkansas and settle down and live the good life with the aroma of only freedom and liberty can provide. We're at the Carlsbad Museum and saw the exhibit depicting PFC Alejandro Ruiz Sr., Medal of Honor recipient, and of course, immediately thought of your Monday Medal of Honor segments. You may have highlighted PFC Ruiz before, but if not, I hope you will in the near future. We're not able to listen to your show much these days, being on the road and often beyond mobile coverage, but do keep up with you on Twitter. Keep doing what you do. Please understand. Having said that, feel free to use my name as long as you say it with the appropriate enthusiasm, inflection, and panache. Semper Fi, and his name is John. So without further ado, Let us honor one PFC Ruiz from the United States Army. This was in Okinawa, Japan.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
When his unit was stopped by a skillfully camouflaged enemy pillbox, he displayed conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity above and beyond the call of duty. His squad, suddenly brought under a hail of machine gun fire and a vicious grenade attack, was pinned down. Jumping to his feet, PFC Ruiz seized an automatic rifle and lunged through flying grenades and rifle and automatic fire for the top of the emplacement. When an enemy soldier charged him, his rifle jammed. Undaunted, PFC Ruiz whirled on his assailant and clubbed him down. Then he ran back through the bullets and grenades, seized more ammunition and another automatic rifle, and again made for the pillbox. Enemy fire was now concentrated on him, but he charged on, miraculously reaching the position, and, in plain view, he climbed to the top. Leaping from one opening to another, he sent burst after burst into the pillbox, killing 12 of the enemy and completely destroying the position. PFC Ruiz's heroic conduct in the face of overwhelming odds saved the lives of many comrades and eliminated an obstacle that long would have checked his unit's advance.
Bang.
That's a full-grown man right there. And let me explain something that most people will know. Well, many of you will know. Some may not. Okinawa is one of those interesting parts of the Pacific War because it was at the end. Now, remember, we started the, quote, island-hopping campaign that most people know about. And what was the island-hopping campaign? It was taking back islands from the Japanese, yes, but it was taking airfields. They needed airfields. And here's a little tidbit you may not know. There weren't airfields on every island, everywhere. Why? The winds. They needed a specific kind of consistent wind on the islands for takeoff and landing of the planes. So only some islands were good enough to do this. Anyway, so we start taking back all these islands, and you know all the names. Tarawa, Peleliu, and Guadalcanal, and you know all these famous battles. Okinawa was the one. I mean, I was stationed there for 6 months when I was in the Marines. It's the one that's part of Japan, kind of not. I never could quite get a straight story on that, but it's basically right by Japan. That was the battle where they were encountering and did encounter the most civilians. On many of these islands where they fought the Japanese, there weren't many civilians because they were uninhabitable islands. Or if there were any civilians, it was tiny tribes or something like that. In Okinawa, there were people freaking everywhere. It's a civilized island, an inhabited island. And one of the interesting things about Okinawa is lots of guys, if you read their memoirs and read about the different books, lots of them said it was the worst of them. Now, I go through different parts of the war in the Pacific, and I can't decide which level of hell would be worse than the other. Tarawa, it's just this tiny little spit of an island, but they didn't read the tides right, and you had to walk through the surf with your rifle over your head in ocean water up to your chest while machine guns gunned you down. There's a story, I think I heard this on a podcast once. Maybe I read it, I don't remember. So many guys died. They would just wipe out whole units with the machine guns. That one officer, I think he was a colonel, might have been a colonel, lieutenant colonel. The only reason he survived was he pulled all the dead bodies around him together and made a raft of dead bodies of his friends and survived on that raft for a couple days, I think it was. And by the time they found him, he was alive, but he lost his mind, as you can imagine. So that's Tarawa. Guadalcanal, not only was it this horrific tropical place, there are accounts, I read this in that one great book, Touched with Fire. There are accounts of guys getting eaten by crocodiles in the river. You go down to just bathe. You're not even fighting the Japanese, and a freaking crocodile eats you. Is that the worst? But on and on and on. We could go through all the islands, but they really describe Okinawa horribly. And They did this on all islands, but part of the reason Okinawa is bad, and it's part of what you hear here, is they had, one, the weather sucked. It was always raining. They were always in the mud. And there were Japanese hidden everywhere there. And because the Japanese wanted to die, it's not that they were willing to die. They wanted to die for the emperor. They would consistently let whole formations of troops go by and then start attacking them from behind. Now, that's suicide because you don't want to let the whole unit go by. They'll just turn around and surround you. But if you don't care about dying, think about how horrible that is. You might have several platoons walk by the exact same area in front of you, and you walk by the area, and out comes a Japanese soldier with the bayonet. They used to do this in Peleliu all the time. They would wait. One guy wanted to die because they were basically out of water and everything at Peleliu. They would wait until a whole patrol would walk by, and then a Japanese guy would just pop out of the ground and run up to the last guy in the formation and just bayonet him in the back. And then everyone, of course, would turn around and kill the Japanese guy, so he's dead. But what does that do to your psyche? What is that like? You can't sleep at night because they'll jump in your fighting hole with you and start stabbing you. Okinawa sounded awful for the pillboxes and the dug-in formations like that. And you just had to kind of conquer I obviously was not there. Well, I was there, but I wasn't fighting there. When I was there, it was peacetime. But you basically had to conquer every inch of ground. And no matter what your unit was doing, if you ran into a pillbox like this one, it would be dug in. They would be ready for you. You had to stop everything and try to take out the pillbox. And then, of course, you're going to lose guys when you're taking out the pillbox. And then you move on, and then you lose more guys. And that's just how it was, man. Okinawa. Freaking ugly state of affairs. I'm actually just starting a documentary on it I found last night, but I'm 30 seconds in, so I can't recommend it to you yet because I don't know if it's good or not. All right? Let's talk about some Hunter Biden stuff. Let's talk about COVID. Because some things are popping up. We'll get to a bunch of your emails. Let's talk about you and your shooting. You see, we have to practice. We have to practice. When we shoot well at the range, don't we? I know you probably do. You probably hit what you aim at. But that's because no one's shooting back at you, trying to stab you, trying to hurt someone you love. Shooting when you're nervous, adrenaline's running, hands are sweating, it's like a completely different thing entirely than shooting at the range. So what do? How are you supposed to account for that? Practice. You will practice, and then you will revert back to the level of your training if, God forbid, you ever have to use your weapon. Mantis X allows us to do that in the comfort of our homes. It's summer. You do it in the air conditioning now. You dry fire practice in your home. They're giving you feedback. They're putting you through drills. The professionals, the best troops in the world, Green Berets, Marines, they use Mantis X to train. You want to train like a Green Beret? Go to MantisX.com and get one today, whether you're super experienced or a beginner. MantisX.com. Train like the best shooters in the world train in the comfort of your home. MantisX.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Excited to be here. Excited to be here and continue our relentless attack on democracy.
I certainly understand that some have chosen to attack the integrity of the Justice Department and its components and its employees by claiming that we do not treat like cases alike. This constitutes an attack on an institution that is essential to American democracy and essential to the safety of the American people. Nothing could be further from the truth. You've all heard me say,
if you criticize Merrick Garland and him using the DOJ as a protection racket for the Biden family, that's an attack on democracy. An attack on democracy. Just going to play a couple clips of me here real quick before we get back to the emails. This is me from May 15th. The Durham investigation is simply another in the long line of confirmations you and I have had that the entire federal government has been infected and infested and has now been weaponized against the political opponents of Democrats, against the American right. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is now a danger to America. In fact, it's so dangerous, it will end America if it is not fixed. That's the reality of where we are. Every part of this government has been on a mission for years now, and they've gone a long way to doing it. They're trying to turn you into an enemy of the state. Why? Because they want to use state power to destroy you. What they really want is to send the FBI to your front door for how you vote. That's really all there is to it. For how you vote, for what you believe, for standing up against them. That's what they want. Everything you see is leading to that end. They have that end in mind. That is the goal. Can we run a CIA op against this Republican? Can we send an FBI SWAT team to the House to arrest this Republican? That's what they want. They want you arrested, silenced, intimidated, and they want to use state power against it because state power, that's what it's good for, hurting. That was me then. This is Merrick Garland.
I certainly understand that some have chosen to attack the integrity of the Justice Department as components and its employees by claiming that we do not treat like cases alike. This constitutes an attack on an institution that is essential to American democracy and essential.
If you question Merrick Garland, you're attacking democracy. Where do you think he's going with that, by the way? Oh, and speaking of me, you didn't think I was just going to let this go once. I'm going to be doing this again next hour as well. Let's do remember. I want to give a big shout out to Peter Hotez, that weapons grade piece of trash who was pushing a poison shot on everybody. By the way, a little headline for Peter. Since COVID, more young people are dying of heart attacks. Here's what we know. Goes on to describe myocarditis in young people and how many young people are losing their lives because of Peter Hotez. But I do owe him a debt of gratitude because I said this back on June 6th. It's a little long. Just sit back and listen, though.
The Department of Homeland Security, formed in the wake of 9/11, it brought all the national security apparatus of the nation under one umbrella. Why? Because they wanted to shift the national security apparatus of America to an Islamic jihadist focus. And so all of them, CIA, FBI, all of them rearranged themselves to focus on Islamic jihad. Let's make sure this never happens again. And you remember all the forces that were brought to bear against Islamic jihad. Do you remember that? Well, that's because they took the entire national security apparatus, every barrel, and beep, that's the sound barrels make when they're turning it. Beep. They're aiming it now at Islamic jihadists. Well, what you have to understand, what is critical for everyone to understand is beep, it shifted the other way. And now it's all aimed at you. All of it. NSA, CIA, FBI, DOJ, the president, IRS, all of the forces that were brought to bear against Islamic jihad, they're all coming for you.
That was me then. This is Peter Hotez. Believe this is from yesterday.
The health sector has gone about as far as it can, I think, in terms of amplifying the message. Now we need to bring in some heavyweights. We need to bring in people from Homeland Security, from the Justice Department, the Commerce Department, State Department, and really ask them, okay, what did you do to defuse global terrorism and cyber attacks and nuclear proliferation and stop it at the source, because anti-science is as big a threat to the health and security of the U.S. population. And
still think I'm crazy? Now, let's talk about us for a moment before we get to emails. And actually, I have some breaking news, and it's going to be courtesy of a journalist.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
But you're going to have to wait on that. That actually wasn't the appropriate time to play that at all. I just kind of liked it, and I played it, but that wasn't appropriate. And we'll get to that in a minute. Before we get to that, let's get to our testosterone levels. Yours, mine, men in general, ladies, we're going to talk about you too. We have to address the problem in this country that testosterone levels are half of what they were 50 years ago. We won't be able to continue as a nation if that free fall continues. We just will not. We won't be able to make enough babies. It's not going to happen. Plus, it's turning our men weak. We don't have strength. We don't have focus. We don't have energy. You need testosterone, whether you're 20 or 80, and they're dropping in everyone. That's why you have to do something to address it. Not more big pharma. Crap. Get some chalk running through your veins. A male vitality stack from chalk. Ladies, there's a female vitality stack for you. Natural herbal supplements from the most hardcore anti-communists I've ever met in the business world. I love these guys. They are our people, and they take care of you. The subscriptions to these are 35% off with the promo code Jesse. But if you don't want it anymore, you just cancel anytime. They're not ripoff artists here. Give it 90 days and tell me how you feel. And then if it's not working, I want you to cancel it. That's how incredible this thing is. I've been on it for, I think, a year and a half by now. It's, oh my gosh, it's amazing. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. All right? We'll be back.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain, but those experiments are the most important scientific discoveries of the time.
I'm Evan Ratliff. Last season, we tackled the ingenuity of Elon Musk with biographer Walter Isaacson. This time, we're diving into the story of Benjamin Franklin, another genius who's desperate to be dusted off from history.
His media empire makes him the most successful self-made business person in America. I mean, he was never early to bed and early to rise type person. He's enormously famous. Women start wearing their hair in what was called the coiffure a la Franklin.
And who's more relevant now than ever.
The only other person who could have possibly been the first president would have been Benjamin Franklin. But he's too old and wants Washington to do it.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for about 30 minutes, I dive into three topics in Major League Baseball that I am interested in. Breaking stories, trends, stats, weird stuff. Sometimes I make up my own stats. Sometimes I do a lot of research, and it ends up, I was wrong the whole time. So that's something you can get in on. Use Jimmy's Three Things podcast to stay up to date on Major League Baseball and to make you just a smidge smarter than your friend who's a baseball fan. You listen to me and then you go tell him, hey, I know this and you don't. So I make you smarter than your friends. That's what Jimmy's Three Things is all about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You could also find it on the Talkin' Baseball YouTube channel, and new episodes drop every Tuesday.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. It's your go-to spot for anything and everything sports. Baseball, football, basketball, hockey, golf, college, whatever's hot in the street, we're talking about it on Wake and Jake. So if you're a diehard fan or looking for the latest buzz, we've got you covered. No matter your favorite sport, we're breaking it down with the passion that'll make you feel like you're in the stands with us. Plus, we've got a bunch of guests, Foolish Bailey, Jolly Olive, Chris Rose, and more. Mock drafts, rankings, whatever you want. It's the sports world, and come on and join our friends in the Wake and Jake family. You will not regret it. So, new episodes Monday and Wednesday. You can watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen to Wake and Jake on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Buzz Knight, and I'm the host of the Taking a Walk podcast, Music History on Foot. Ian Hunter.
Hello, Ian. It's Ringo. How'd you fancy going on the tour? You get the chills when a Beatles are on your answering machine.
The podcast is an audio diary of insightful conversations with musicians and the inside stories behind their music. Kenny Aronoff.
I wake up every morning and I feel grateful, but I know it didn't come from luck. If you get a lucky break, well, you better be prepared. You better be ready. If you've done your homework and you're continuing to do your homework, you'll turn that lucky break into something great.
The message of the podcast is simple. Honest conversation with musicians about the music they create. Carney Wilson.
You know, I mean, Elton John picked me up and put me back in my crib when I was a toddler. It's like, that's the thing that's so cool is I've got these stories because of my life.
Listen to the Taking a Walk podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember this, the iHeartRadio app is free. And if you've missed any part of the show, they podcast the whole thing when it's done on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. Don't forget on iTunes to leave a 5-star rating in a review talking about how handsome I am. That's critically important. Chris just dug up a little audio of Joe Biden from last week. And I mean, normally the guy misspeaks a little bit, but I think in light of all this Hunter Biden, Joe Biden bribery with the Chinese stuff, this is probably maybe pretty relevant.
I was just thinking, anyway, I started off without you. And I sold a lot of state secrets and a lot of very important things that we shared.
I sold a lot of state secrets? I sold a lot of state... I did hear that right, Chris. I did hear that right? I sold a lot of state secrets? Well, I guess this is one of those obvious things, and I'm going to get back to the kind of breaking news, although not really here in a second, but I guess this does bring up an interesting conversation. And it's an obvious point, but one that's not made very often. Hunter Biden, we know about the text message, the IRS whistleblower, the bribery payments, things like that. We know, okay, we got all that. What did they get for that money? Anyone ask that? Anyone curious about that? $5.1 million was this specific text message. We know that after Hunter sent that nasty text message to his Chinese counterpart, $5.1 million just rolled on into one of his companies. We know that, but $5 million is a lot of money. Chris, I don't know about you. I could use $5 million. You'll probably do a couple things with that. $5 million. Think how many Red Lobster trips that would be, pal. It's Red Lobster for life. What did they get for it? Because they got something. People aren't in the business of handing out $5 million without getting anything. Anyway, I have to get back to this breaking news. I can't hold out any longer.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
Dr. Fauci has found a soft place to land. I know you're going to be shocked by this, and this isn't really breaking news at all. This came out 4 or 5 hours before the show. I just really felt like breaking news, and I felt like that I should be able to pretend, if I wanted to pretend, that I could break news. So anyway, this news has been out 4 or 5 hours. Dr. Fauci's found a great place to land. He's going to be working for Georgetown University. Georgetown University, he'll be teaching public policy and medicine at Georgetown. I just want to again pull up this headline. Since COVID, more young people are dying of heart attacks. Here's what we know. Now back to the other headline. Anthony Fauci, who retired from the National Institutes of Health in December, will teach public policy and medicine at Georgetown. You see, as we often say on the show, the system takes care of its own. And the worse you are, the more despicable you are, the better you're taken care of. Dr. Fauci should be put on trial. Dr. Fauci is going to be teaching classes on public policy and medicine when you can make the argument, actually a very legitimate argument, that he's in fact the least qualified person in the history of the world to teach anybody on public policy and medicine. But off to Georgetown he goes, manicured, beautiful campuses, cherry paychecks. He'll be scraping together $100,000, $200,000 speaking fees on the university circuit. That will be part of it, no doubt about it. Millions and millions and millions of dollars for all that death and destruction. For the idea that you should stop your economy because of a virus. The insane idea It sounds like a toddler came up with some of these things. Stand 6 feet away from everybody. Who came up with that idiocy? And yet now, prestige, money, it's all his. Yeah. All right. We have to get to some emails. Jay Steele, you made a great pick for the sad piano music. That was some compelling live radio for sure. I don't know if it's the chalk or the marine in you, but your voice isn't soft enough to convey the emotional squishiness that some of these sad moments require. As a part-time radio host, that's not nice. I know you strive to put out the most professional product that a few hours of work a week can muster. I hate you guys. So maybe after you put in your time with Mantis X this weekend, try watching some video of Jim Nance at the Masters and work on getting that wistful, sappy tone so you can really sell those reeds. If it helps, maybe think about the scenario of the Marine Corporal whose boyfriend broke up with him and how sad that is. I hate you guys. And use emotions to make your voice crack. Thanks for giving us 5 full days of radio last week. Keep the streak going. His name is Bo from Albuquerque. Albuquerque's an underrated city. That's one. He said, P.S., could you say hi to my dime, Kimberly? I'm slowly getting her to love the show as much as I do, and a direct message from you would make her day. Thanks, amigo. Kimberly, your boyfriend is mean to me. He's mean. He points things out. And I do need a softer voice for the piano music. No, listen, Chris, I'm going to work on it now. This is going to be so soft and wistful. That was the word he used, right? Wistful. Here we go. Oh, yes, that's perfect. All right, super soft. This is the next email. I'm an ER physician. No, I feel like I'm doing that wrong. That's not soft. It almost sounds creepy. No, all right, let me try this again. I'm an ER physician. I love your show. You were talking about anti-communist teachers, and I want to let you know that there are also anti-communist physicians. Not all of us are in lockstep with the statements made by the AMA, etc. Keep up the good work. You keep up the good work too, Doctor. I am wistfully yours. What, Chris? Shut up. Gigantic Oracle. What are they going to do with Dome if Biden is out? She can't do anything but bray like a donkey. I think when they... Look, remember, this is all just a theory. This is my theory. When Biden is kicked out, that's my theory, that they kick him out and replace him with Newsom. Again, we're going to know within the next few months if this is coming to fruition, because Gavin Newsom is going to need more time to run. So I would say 2-3 months, Joe Biden will resign. Health reasons or some crap like that. But the problem is Dome. And this is something I've gone back and forth with my buddies on. What do they do with Dome? Ideally, they want to dump her. That's what they want. She's not popular. She's never been popular. They keep hiring new people for her, new publicists, these new professional kind of life coach type people to try to make her likable. You can't make Dome likable. There's nothing there. You can't give, what is she, 57, 58, fellas? I think she's 57, 58. She's something like that. You can't give a 57-year-old woman a personality. Either you have one at that age or you don't have one. There's nothing else you can do with that. So there's nothing they can do with her. Nobody likes her. They want to drop her. But they can't drop her completely. I suspect they're going to do one of two things. A, they're going to make her be Newsom's VP. I think that she will be very displeased with that, but I think that's what they would want. Or what they really want is her gone. So I think, and this is, again, this is theory. I don't have inside base. I tell you when I know stuff and when I have a theory. This is a theory. I think they're going to buy her off. It's not hard to buy someone off. Everyone has a price. You want Dome gone from being VP. It's not hard to pick any one of your donors, any one of your big companies, hire Dome to be on the corporate board or something like that. Give her, absurd amounts of money. Give her $5 million a year, $10 million a year. She'll go around, give speeches. She's on the corporate board. Then she's rich, relaxing, well thought of. If she did what the system wanted her to do, they would treat her right. She'd be invited to conventions, first class ticket, probably private planes, the whole works. I think they're going to try to buy her off and get her gone. But That woman might just stick around anyway and make herself VVP because she knows where all the bodies are buried. They can't afford to offend her too much. She's going to come out and she's going to make all that stuff public. You got to be careful when she knows too much, right? Right. Now, you know what happened to me today? Really briefly before we get back to this other stuff. Like the Russian coup and the emails and things like that and white lash. You know what happened to me today? I was leaving the house and the wife was taking the boys out for ice cream. I don't know why the boys deserve ice cream at noon, but that's when she was taking the boys out for ice cream. And they were bringing the dog. Why were they bringing the dog? Because the ice cream place serves doggy milkshakes. And Fred just looked at Ob and the boys, sad and pathetic enough that they broke down and said, Fred needs a milkshake too. That dog is the most spoiled dog in the world. And it's a good daggone thing that dog's on rough greens, because anymore, or the way Fred's stomach is, you know he's got a nervous stomach, that milkshake would have been coming back out the other way. I promise you that much. But we do give Fred rough greens every meal now, because that's the only way to get real nutrition into him. I also caught my youngest son slipping him a fry. Vitamins, minerals, probiotics. Rough greens is going to keep Fred in my life for longer, years longer. Years of healthier living longer. We never even have to go to the vet anymore. Go find out what happens when you give your dog nutrition for the first time. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right? Roughgreens.com/Jesse.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly. Don't worry, we still have more than an hour left. We still have to get to White Lash and some other things like that. That'll be super offensive. You know what? We're going to get to that in 10 minutes from now. We'll call it 10 minutes from now. I'm going to do a couple other things first. I know this shouldn't make me laugh. I know it shouldn't, but it does. This is Admiral Rachel Levine.
Hello, my name is Admiral Rachel Levine, and I have the honor of being the assistant.
Sorry, his voice is so deep. His name is Richard. That's Dick Levine. Okay.
Hello, it's me, Rachel.
Gosh. All right, that made me laugh, and this part made me laugh too. John Kirby. I don't know if he knows about America's foreign policy.
Is the president at all disappointed that this episode came and went, and Vladimir Putin's still in power?
The president is focused on supporting Ukraine. We're not taking sides in this internal matter. The president is going to make sure that we're staying focused on Ukraine.
He did say, though, in March 2022, for God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
Regime
this
change.
This might have changed that.
Regime change is not our policy. We've been very, very clear about that.
Regime change is not our policy? Is that what he just said? Regime change is not our policy. Listen, let's just do a little rewind here. America really, really, really found its footing as a superpower during actually World War I. We were already an economic juggernaut, but the financial capital of the world prior to that was Britain, with London. After World War I, because England bankrupted itself trying to destroy the Germans, so did France, and they bought all their things from us, America became the financial capital, New York City to be specific, the financial capital of the globe. And then World War II came about. And we still had a very small military. That's America's governing philosophy, that our military should be small. We threw the economy into high gear. We shifted our economy towards a military focus. And by the time World War II was over, we were in a unique situation. And this is the unique situation. Let me describe it to you this way. Let's say you're in high school again. Let's say you're in high school and you're skinny, kind of tall, but pretty skinny, and you don't really know how to fight. And every now and then, you would get picked on a little. Nothing bad, but you'd get picked on a little, and that's kind of how you lived your life. And then one summer, between your freshman and sophomore year, you get training from the best MMA fighter alive.
Every single day, for months and months and months, all you're doing is fighting, 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 training, fighting, training, fighting, training, fighting. And you show back up in school and you've gained 50 pounds of solid muscle. And now it's not even really debatable. You can beat anybody up you see, anyone you see. Would you do it? Now, okay, maybe you're sitting there saying, no, Jesse, I wouldn't do it. Okay, now hold on. I'm not saying you're a bad person who's going to walk up and down the hall body checking everyone into the lockers. You wouldn't ever take advantage of that situation? Even if it was, in your eyes, used for good? If you walked down the hall and you saw a bully picking on one of the weaker kids, you wouldn't step in and help? Of course you would. I mean, why wouldn't you? It is human nature to use power. We've talked about this before. I have my Glock sitting right here beside me in case someone breaks in and tries to kill us while we're doing the show. When I take my Glock out of the holster, it's in the holster, don't freak out, everybody, but when I take it out of the holster, you know what I want to do? I want to shoot it. When you hold a hammer in your hands, what do you do with that hammer? When's the last time you held a hammer? You hit your other palm with it a couple times, don't you? You want to hit something with the hammer. This is not because you're a bad person. This is human nature. We found ourselves in a unique position after World War II. We were not only the finance giant, the economic giant of the world, we were the military giant of the world. Our fleet, our World War II fleet, do you understand? Wrap your mind around this. I'm still reading this great book right now. The Fleet at Flood Tide. I told you about this book before. It's so good. But you understand that our fleet, I didn't read that in this book, but I've read it in other books, that our fleet was too big at the end of World War II. They overbuilt the Navy. It was over the top how gigantic our Navy was. We commanded the seas. We were all of a sudden 50 pounds heavier and the baddest boy on the block. Now, I said that because I love my country. And I said that because I'm about to make a big excuse for my country, but I think reasons and excuses are two different things. When we found ourselves in that situation moving forward, post-World War II, we didn't always use that extra 50 pounds of muscle and fighting ability responsibly. Oftentimes, we did in some ways when we helped. When we stood up against evil, when we did some things, there's no question about it. It wasn't all bad, but we used our power a lot. We threw our weight around for regime change a lot. That's been America's foreign policy, and we've paid for it a lot. And that brings up an interesting concern of mine, which I will address in just a moment, and then we're going to get to white lash. That'll offend everybody. First, let's get to doing a little bit of good tonight to care for widows and orphans. I have not forgotten, and I hope you haven't, I know you haven't, about the veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan. And not just the veterans, the guys who didn't come back, and more specifically their families. I still remember when I was in Iraq, how many of the guys I was with, kids, we were all kids, I was a kid, had families, wives, kids back home. And imagine that moment when they show up at your house and say, Dad's never coming home again. He's gone. Imagine an organization like Tunnel to Towers coming in and saying, hey, I am sorry, but we are here for you. I tell you what, we're going to pay off the mortgage on your home. We can't bring him back, but we're going to pay the mortgage off on your home. Is that not the most blessed thing in the world, taking that financial burden off of them? Go look up Tunnel to Towers, too. When you give, it goes where you want it to go. Go to T2T.org. Sign up to give $11 a month. T2T.org. All right? We'll be back.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, if you've been following me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies, like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lighty Hoik, Allison Roman, and Ina Garten. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste to share recipes, tips, and kitchen must-haves. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. good taste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. I've been a sports nut my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than talking about it. If you're a sports fan, Wake and Jake is the place for you. Covering all the hot topics from the sports world, a lot of baseball, a lot of postseason coverage, mock drafts, awards, guest interviews, all of it. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Come watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it! Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts or on the iHeartRadio app.